You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to tonight's live broadcast. I'm your host, James Edwards, along with Keith Alexander. We have a triumvirate of wonderful guests coming your way this evening, and what an evening.
Not a Lepidus in the triumvirate.
It's May 5th.
Only Octavian and Mark Anthony.
It's May 7th, the 5th month, the 7th night, May 7th, that's what it is. And listen, since we came on the air last week, quite a bit has happened. I was talking with Paul Kersey about the chaos of history and that we don't know what the future will be. And if you had told me last Saturday at this time that we would get wind of the Supreme Court's intentions to repeal Brown versus Board. No, I'm dreaming.
Yeah, we're dreaming about that one.
I meant to say Roe versus Wade. I would have told you not a chance, but yet here we are. And so to help us examine that, will be Sam Dixon, Brad Griffin, and Roger Devlin in hours 1, 2, and 3, respectively. We will be taking a look at this issue from the legal, moral, and sexual
aspects
and ramifications. But before we do that, we want to welcome Sam Dixon back to the program. Sam, we're going to transition fairly quickly into this issue with Wade, and you're going to be, of course, talking to us about Roe versus Wade from the legal perspective. But first, you were at an event last Sunday, since we last broadcast, at Stone Mountain. What was going on there?
Well, I believe it was Saturday, but the they were having the
yes, last Saturday, correct?
A memorial service in honor of the Confederate dead at Stone Mountain, which, as you know, has the largest Confederate carving in the world on it, something that Stacey Abrams says she wants to dynamite off the face of the mountain. She's, of course, a moderate, according to the media. But anyway, Martin O'Toole spoke, and there was a considerable effort by the Antifa to organize a crowd to shout down the speakers, a pretty explicit desire to interfere with their meeting. If a bunch of us got together and went and shouted down speakers at one of our oppositionist meetings, some civil rights leaders' meetings, we'd be indicted for conspiracy to violate their civil rights. But these people can do it with impunity. So they worked at it. We have people that give us material from them. And they were really scrounging. They were sending stuff out nationwide. They were hoping that they could put together another Charlottesville and attack us and then have their media sympathizers portray them as the victims. I'm sure they were up to that. But anyway, as it turned out, they had maybe 120 people, and they were probably about 250 people that came for the Confederate event. So Martin O'Toole gave a good speech. It was kind of legalistic, in my opinion, but there are those who need legalistic thinking to justify our ancestors. And it was a good meeting. I went and took pictures of Antifa. I think we need to start engaging in face recognition on them, the way they're doing on the people at the January 6th Trump rally last year in Washington. And since they are dangerous people and people who threaten violence and engage in violence and wear masks, it's important to try to identify them by taking pictures of them.
I think it's interesting, Sam.
Constitution.
I think it's interesting that they don't want to engage you in debate. They try to censor you by basically stuffing a sock in your mouth and turning up the amplifiers on their own voices.
Oh, yeah. You're absolutely right. I had a supreme left-handed compliment paid me, Keith, by one of their people who was on this thing called Nextdoor, which you're probably familiar with. It's a thing where you sign up and you're assigned, you give the organizers nationwide your address, and you're put into a chat site for your neighborhood. And they were attacking me on there, and I posted several things, and one of the people who runs a thing for high school students put up a message begging them not to listen to what I said and not to Google me, not to read what I put up on Nextdoor. And so I think he realized that they can't win an argument. And I think that's true. They
that's
can't
absolutely right.
Yeah, you know, they are
one thing, Sam.
Their arguments are so fact-free and contrary to fact, they can only win by volume, by threats, by censorship, and I think many of them know that.
I think they do too. We certainly know it. This audience knows it, and we welcome a free and open discussion and debate and a forum that will allow such discussions and debates to occur. We were talking last week. It was last Saturday. I stand corrected. You are right. I knew that. I don't know why I thought Sunday. I guess it was because it was after the program when I learned about obviously we all learned about the Roe versus Wade thing, but we were talking about 200 people there. Well, I learned later that the permit only allowed for 200. I read that in some of the news articles that mentioned you and your attendance at this event after the fact. I think it was when I was reading these articles, it was on Sunday. But so I think they limited the number of people there to pay respects to Confederate Memorial Day to 200. And I know at even 200, which is a small crowd, it still outnumbered the Antifa, which I don't think those rules would have been applied to, Sam, because as you were mentioning, you know, with regard to the Georgia anti-masking statute, that certainly wasn't enforced either.
No, of course not. I don't think that impacted the our turnout. I think probably a lot of people were fearful of the threats by the Antifa. You know, people heard enough about it, but even so, I mean, it's in Atlanta. It's in an area where we have a hard time drawing people. But they were outnumbered, and they tried to bring people in from everywhere. There was every kind of group you can imagine. They were contacting and writing up on their websites, trying to get people there. The park people allowed them to get too close to us, where they were able to make it hard to hear the program. But really, this should not be allowed. You know, hostile groups should not be put in proximity with each other. But I think
there was.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that there was a little drip, drip, drip. Dull drumbeat of news in advance of this gathering that was, of course, designed to suppress attendance and to put fear into the hearts and minds of those who perhaps might have attended, that it could be another Charlottesville, that you were going to have so-called protesters there. And the fact that our side still outnumbered them, I think, is encouraging for what it is. We'll ask you just a quick takeaway on this, Sam, when we come back, and then we'll transition to what's going to be the main course of tonight, Roe versus Wade discussion and the reported repeal of it that is going to be forthcoming here in just a few days. Wow. That's big news, one way or the other. Is it good news, though? That's what we'll be talking about.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Welcome back, everybody. We're back with Sam Dixon, talking very quickly about, at the top of the program, before we move into what's going on with the Supreme Court, about a Confederate Memorial Day event in Stone Mountain, Georgia, right outside of Atlanta, last Saturday. As we were wrapping up our Confederate History Month coverage on the air, Sam Dixon and Martin O'Toole and others were at this event. And Sam, I would just ask you, I know you said you didn't really want to dwell on this, this part of it, but for the sake of due diligence, I'll mention, and you can tell me why perhaps we shouldn't spend too much time on this, the fact that the media, to me, I got a kick out of the fact that they were so aghast that people who descended from Confederate soldiers might go to a state-sanctioned and state-commissioned Confederate memorial site to pay their respects.
Well, what do you expect? You know, these people have no respect for our rights. And they're very unfair. I don't know if people know that. One thing about the media, the thing that I think that is most important about this event, the significant thing, the thing that sets it apart from others, is that the National Association for the Advancement of Black and of Colored People, NAACP, and the Southern Poverty Law Center both openly came out and repudiated the First Amendment. Both of them, including the Southern Poverty Law Center, that's lawyers, came out and said that the permit should be denied, and these Southerners, white Southerners, should not be allowed to have a meeting because, they said, the feelings of black people are offended by such meetings. The explicit statement, their feelings of some of these alienated black people, their feelings are more important than the first provision of the Bill of Rights. These organizations, Southern Poverty Law Center, the word that the media loves to use these two is they're watchdogs, like cute little Fido guarding his house. Then, of course, we know what a vicious, nasty, racist thing they are. But that's the official pose. That's the little word, the semantics of the media, they're watchdogs. And the NAACP, of course, is always fighting for civil rights. Well, the greatest of all civil rights is the First Amendment. And the NAACP now is right out there. We are going to destroy the First Amendment. Our feelings trump the rights of the founding stock of this nation. We have a right to prevent you from having a meeting. We have the right to prevent you from giving a speech and hearing a speech. We will deny you your First Amendment rights because that's how we are going to run the country. And what's interesting about it is the Atlanta Journal-Constitution reporter there, who is a bitter, nasty enemy of ours, his name is Chris Joyner. He's so pro-Antifa, he never uses the word Antifa in his stories. It's always anti-racist activists or progressives or counter-protesters. And he throws things around. By the way, they like him so much that the Antifa even had his email address up so their people could feed him information easily. So he throws around words like far right. And people like me, I was written up the article, what did I have to do with it? I went there and sat on the ground and listened to speeches. That's all my involvement. I'm not an officer of the STV. My membership has actually lapsed. I need to reinstate it. But I was just somebody in the crowd. You know, why is that newsworthy that I was sitting in the crowd? Anybody could come in and sit in the crowd. You know, when Jimmy Carter was running for president, Gacy, whatever his name was, up in Chicago, the murderer, the sexual murderer, he got his picture taken with Rose and Carter. What does that matter? You know, somebody in the audience says nothing about the event, but he wrote all that up, and he throws that word far right. Do any of these people on the far right in the SCD, Martin O'Toole, or any of these people, do they ever come out and say, we're going to destroy the Bill of Rights? We're going to deny black people the right to have a meeting. We're going to deny them the right to hear a speech. Our feelings are what matter. Our feelings are the supreme law of the land, and we will crush their civil rights. To me, I think Mr. Joyner ought to be turning things like far left, far black racist, far out black racist NAACP, far out philo Semites of the SPLC. You know, why are these people never far left or black extremists? How is it they never get that tag? That's the most important thing about this meeting. We've always known that privately, secretly, the agenda has always been to violate our rights. But they're not masking it anymore. It's right out in the open. We and the Bill of Rights have nothing to do. We have rights, and you white people don't have any rights. So that's a step forward.
Sam, I think anti-intellectualism has found a permanent home in the left now. You know, it used to not be that way. They portrayed themselves as being the intellectuals, and we were the troglodytes. Now they just cannot carry on a coherent debate which stays on topic. They are just, you know, I think they're fashionistas, basically. Basically, if you are a dumb person and you want to appear smart, there are several things you can do. You can speak with an English accent, you can wear a pair of glasses, or you can embrace liberalism in every debate you get in. And that's what they do. And these people have no way to, you know, defend themselves intellectually against us.
You're right.
Make too much more noise than we do.
You're absolutely right. You know, they always were phonies when they said they were intellectual. I used to hear this in high school. It reminds you of that. You remember the old Marlboro ad with the cowboy? It would say Marlboro, the thinking man's cigarette. If you smoke the cigarette, you're a thinking man. That's really what
the dying man cigarette.
Well, it's just a stupid thing. It's like most advertising. Anybody with a grain of sense would be insulted by such a stupid thing as the Marlboro advertising. But that's how they peddle their stuff in the government-run schools, where kids are not taught to think. There's no critical thinking. Kids are never made to read two books on each side of the question. They're spoon-fed the system ideology. One thing I like to do, I suggest this also to your listeners, I suggested the thing we need to put out in our emails and tweets, everything, is that the SPLC and the NAACP have now openly declared that whites have no First Amendment rights, and this shows what extremist organizations they are. I like to ask liberals who think they're intellectuals if they've ever read a book on the other side of any question, like McCarthyism, immigration, genetics and race. I've never met one yet that said, yeah, I read a book. And I've had some kind of lie. And say, oh, I read one. Then you ask what it was, they couldn't tell you. But you know, I tell them, you know, a genuine intellectual reads all sides before he makes his mind up. But these people haven't. It's like the Thorsten Weber thing about the theory of the leisure class. By showing off these ideas at a cocktail party, a woman especially can show how chic and fashionable she is. She's got her Ferragamo shoes, she's got her Gucci bag, and she has her National Public Radio ideas.
That's exactly it. Well, hit the nail on the head, Sam.
Here's where we stand right now, ladies and gentlemen, halfway through this first hour. So we wanted Sam to talk about this Confederate Memorial Day event at Stone Mountain last week. I think it's important to know that it occurred. But the big takeaway here, as Sam just mentioned, quite articulately so, is that if there was ever any doubt, this whole game is now to deny whites their so-called civil rights, to suppress us, to stop us from having meetings. And this is sanctioned now by the so-called civil rights advocacy groups like the NAACP and, God forbid, the SPLC. Now, that's not a surprise to anyone in this listening audience, but it does need to be documented, and so now it has been. What we will do going forward for the rest of this hour with Sam, and then for the remainder of the program with Brad Griffin and then Roger Devlin in turn, is to take a look at the reported repeal of Roe versus Wade, which we expect the Supreme Court to announce next month. We're going to look at this from a legal, moral, and sexual perspective, and Sam will help us out with the legal. Now, I could talk to Sam about this really for the entire program. I think the legal aspect of it is what interests me the most, but we only have Sam for two more segments, so we're going to get into that. And comprehensively so. We're not going to continue to talk about Roe versus Wade for the next several weeks. We're going to do a deep dive tonight, look at it from a few different angles, and then we'll wait and see what happens in June, I guess. We're at an odd time here. I know the music's about to start, and there it is now. But what I will ask Sam when we return is, we'll just go back to the very beginning. I'll read something that Sam wrote this week about the original ruling, and we'll start there. That'll be our jumping off point. Two more segments with the great Sam Dixon coming up next. Stay tuned.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
South Korea says North Korea flight tested a ballistic missile that was likely fired from a submarine. The South Korean Joint Chiefs of Staff says the launch occurred from waters near the eastern port city of Sinpo. Pyongyang has a major shipyard building submarines there. South Korea says the short-range missile flew almost 400 miles, but did not immediately provide details about the submarine that would have been involved in the launch. Ukrainian and Russian officials say all women, children, and elderly people have been evacuated from the steel plant in Mariupol. Hundreds of civilians were trapped for weeks at the sprawling complex amid intense Russian attacks. Ukrainian fighters remain holed up in the plant. The Kremlin is still trying to capture it. It's where the last sliver of resistance remains in the southern port city. For the fifth straight week, all the major indexes on Wall Street are losers. This is USA Radio News.
While the economy is uncertain, possibilities to save money remain. Hey everyone, this is Mike.
And this is Brian with Fellowship Home Loans. Even in these trying times, a cash out refinance could be the light to your path. Home values are rising and interest rates are following. So don't hesitate to make a move to do a cash out refinance now.
Let us check some numbers and see if you could save or if it might make sense to hold tight. It starts with a phone call at 800-535-2779. That's 800-535-2779 or online at fellowshiphomeloans.com.
We guarantee a thorough check of the numbers, the market, and your obligations to determine the best path. Give us a call at 800-535-2779, 800-535-2779.
Or online at fellowshiphomeloans.com. For more than 20 years, we've helped families save, just like we'll help you too. Fellowship Home Loans, welcome home.
Intercontinental Capital Group, DBA Fellowship Home Loans, Equal Housing Opportunity Lender, MLS number 60134.
First Lady Jill Biden met with Ukrainian refugee students and their mothers at a school in Bucharest as part of a four-day trip to Eastern Europe. Biden says she remains concerned about the next phase of the humanitarian crisis that keeps going on and on. Nearly 6 million Ukrainians have fled the country since the war began. A federal judge in California has tossed out former President Trump's lawsuit seeking to overturn his ban from Twitter. District Judge James Donato said that Trump's claims that Twitter's ban against him violated the First Amendment didn't hold much water, given that the amendment only applies to government and not private companies. Donato said Trump's only hope was if Twitter was operating as the government under a state action doctrine. A New York court has halted the use of familial DNA searching, where law enforcement agencies search the state's DNA data bank for close biological relatives of people who left traces of genetic material at crime scenes. It said the legislature did not sign off on protocols. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Well, let's talk about it, ladies and gentlemen. The main event of tonight, the news. And if you'd have told me this news was coming down last Saturday when we were on the air, I would have said, there's just no way. There's no way that's going to happen. But alas, here we are. Is it good? I think you'll hear me say some things over the course of the remainder of the program that may surprise you. I talked with Sam a couple of times this week via email and then for about a half hour just immediately before the program tonight. And he and I share some opinions on this that conflict in some ways, but nevertheless, it is big news, and we will try to cover it in a way that will satisfy everyone, not perhaps our takes on it, but at least coming at it from several different angles. Sam, let's first talk about the legality of the original ruling. You wrote that Roe versus Wade was not merely absurd, it was an outrageous fraud, a judicial lie, a lie so clearly trumped up as to be an insult to the intelligence of anyone who reads it. The issuance of such a transparently trumped-up decision is really all one ought to have needed to have seen how the judicial system operates. A mutual friend of ours also wrote that he believes that SCOTUS's repealing of this law is the correct decision, legally speaking. There is no right to abortion in the Constitution. But this gets to something more interesting about it, I think, that this could accelerate the big sort that would move people to states that suit them politically, and every such step is a step towards secession and separation, which I applaud. Sam, two-part question. First, the original ruling, your thoughts on that, and could we possibly be so lucky that this helps facilitate a breakup of the existing order?
Well, I think you have to salute the left. They have played this tactic of having their program made part of the constitutional law of the country very, very carefully and adroitly. They've in fact been successful with it. Most of these issues are things that ought to have been decided in the legislative branch of the government. It's the legislative branch that ought to decide whether or not homosexuals can get married, or whether or not schools should be desegregated, or whether a woman should have an abortion or not, or be allowed to have an abortion. But what they've done is they have used the U.S. Supreme Court as a means of incorporating their own ideology into the fundamental constitutional law of the country. And it really is absurd on its face. The idea that when the Constitution was drawn up and the amendments to it passed, that it was intended to prevent states from outlawing abortion, and that it was intended to require the busing of school children, sometimes as much as 50 miles, we're going to have this constitution and it's going to have the right to, it's going to compel school systems to racially balance schools, and things like this. And, it's just a smoke and mirrors game. And unfortunately, most lawyers fall for it. They go to law school and they hear all this stuff and they don't see how phony the system is. The Supreme Court represents the political point of view of the people who put the judges there. And one of the good things about this decision is it brings in stark relief. The ones that were appointed by the judges appointed by the Republicans are voting one way. The judges that are appointed by the Democrats are voting another. That's how the system works. It's not any kind of holy of holies. They're not gathering behind the screen to hear the voice from Mount Sinai. No, this is raw political stuff. You saw it in the
Sam.
Yes.
Yeah, Sam. I was going to say I was in law school at the time this came down, and I was naive. I figured that there had to be some intellectual heft to this argument, but I remember reading it time and again. I said, "There's nothing here. This makes no sense at all." And I had the same opinion about the Brown case and things like that. And, I was straining, trying to make sense and trying to give them the benefit of the doubt. And it's just nonsense. It's an invention by whole cloth.
It's just politics. And it's done in the most squalid way. you know, the Brown versus Topeka Board of Education, the desegregation decision, the evidence was perjured. You know, that they had these Donald tests. That was perjury. I think even so, the judges knew it was perjury when it came up in the trial court. That didn't matter. You know, they had illegal meetings with the Council of NAACP. Thurgood Marshall was meeting illegally, and Frankfurter was speaking.
Philip Ellman and Frankfurter were meeting.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a unbelievably bad. And you know, but this is how the courts work, and Americans can't see this. But one of the things about the pro-life people is they like to try to praise Brown versus Topeka Board of Education, which they often say that this was pro-life and the sanctity of black lives, you know, black lives and stuff. But no, you cannot criticize the legal reasoning of Roe versus Wade without criticizing the legal reasoning behind Brown versus Topeka Board of Education. But they want to do this.
I agree totally.
If
one falls, the other needs to fall.
Yeah, well, neither are going to fall. In fact, before we end this session, it needs to be said that this is a very temporary decision. Just as this is the decision of one political faction of judges on the court, the decision will change as that political faction diminishes in power, and that's in the cards. I don't think you're ever going to have another Republican nominee ever put on the Supreme Court again. There's not going to be another Republican president again.
Because of the demographic replacement of the white majority. Yeah, because of the demographic replacement of the white majority.
Right. And so,
well, of course, what's going to happen, too, is this, that they're, if they do away with a federal constitutional right to abortion, that means it goes back to the state. So there's not going to be a total wipeout of that. You're going to have a 50-50 split between the states, probably.
Well, that goes back to actually how the media is treating this, as they treated the situation down in Florida with the so-called Don't Say Gay bill, which was nothing of the sort. They're saying this will ban abortion, which is not true either, Sam. It just kicks it back to the states, and in the red states, you'll have some bans of some sort, and in the blue states, you won't.
Yeah, and it won't be long. The Democrats will be able to pass a national bill on abortion. They'll be able to federalize the question by passing a bill that will, by legislation, create a woman's right to have an abortion, which is the way it ought to have been from day one. If you don't have that, it ought to be in the legislative branch of the government. But the direction, it's clear, the demographic direction, we're heading for a one-party state of a one-party dominated by certain groups, which I call regime support groups. And these are ethnic groups like blacks, Puerto Ricans, Jews, Hispanics, Indians, Asians, and sexual groups like the feminists and most homosexuals and things like that. These are the regime support groups. And they're growing and growing and growing. And they're already almost 50% of the electorate. So it's just in the cards. 7 years from now, 10 years from now, the court will completely reverse itself and it'll go back the way it is, because it's all naked power. Law has nothing to do with the way the American, very little to do with the way the American judicial system works. Power, politics, influence, corruption, that is what moves the American judicial system. And American conservatives, people like us, have a very hard time recognizing that. But why do y'all think the abortion...
Well, Federalist Paper number 74, though, Sam, said that, you know, the federal judiciary was the weakest and least dangerous branch of the federal government. It had neither will nor power, only judgment. That's what people expected, and that's what changed under Jewish power and influence, beginning with Louis Brandeis ascending to the Supreme Court as a Jew in 1916 and really taking over in the 50s.
Well, I think it began earlier than that. It began Marbury versus Madison and the fight between Thomas Jefferson and John Marshall. But whatever it is, it's certainly a very, very negative thing. It's a group of power drunk people wearing black robes who are politicians, and that's really what it boils down to. But there are two reasons.
Well, Sam, go ahead. No, go ahead. Final word to you.
Well,
the second. Go.
I think we need. Why is abortion so important to our enemies? I think there are two reasons. One, without abortion, you cannot have feminism. If women have, if the social systems, our society said that babies are so important that you have to have them. Well, a woman can't be, she has a hard time being a candidate for a partnership in a law firm. Yeah, I mean, you know, every time she gets pregnant, she has to have a baby. And you have to go back the way society was.
It puts her out of commission for 2 years.
Yeah. So you've got to have abortion to create a society in which money is everything and family is not. Yeah. Otherwise, family...
The other part of it, Sam, is that they want sex to be about recreation rather than procreation.
Well, that's the second thing. You can't have the sexual revolution without abortion. You can't have this promiscuity, which I think is so very harmful.
And we will be talking about that aspect of it with Roger Devlin in the third hour, the author of Sexual Utopia and Power. Roger Devlin, always a great guest. And he will be back on tonight as well as this continues a sobering discussion with Sam Dixon right now about the realities of this ruling that have so many in the pro-life community very, very happy right now. But is it good news forever? We'll be right back.
Stop website that will keep you fully informed. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of the big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution as it provides truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first and in the historic American nation. Many Americans are finally waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America and Western civilization can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to LocalHoneyMan.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at LocalHoneyMan.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
All right. As I said a moment ago, the existing order has to fall apart for us to have a future. And if overturning Roe versus Wade can hasten that day in some way, I'm all for it. I'm not sure that it will, but if it could, then that's a good thing. We have to be. We need to be separate. Sam Dixon kicking off the conversation tonight as only he can. Sam, with only one segment remaining in another hour that's going by far too quickly with you. I'd like to play a little bit of rapid fire here because there's a few things I've got to work in, and we're going to run out of time if I don't do it otherwise. Number one, we were not really joking, but we made mention of the fact that I mentioned it, that anytime the left is apoplectic and anytime that they're this upset, it just brings me a great deal of joy. So certainly I like to see them reacting the way they are to this report. However, many in the establishment pro-life side are certainly not very smart, and they're not on our side with regards to the racial angle, and everything on this program is looked at through the lens of race. So is this really a victory for our people?
Well, you know, I think if you take speaking in practical terms, it's not. Practical terms may be trumped by divine law. I don't mock that idea. You know, abortion's a very difficult issue. I know most people seem to be very clear I'm either for it or against it. But, you know, it's very hard for me to agree that life is so sacred and begins at conception that if your wife is raped by a black man, she should be compelled to carry the rapist child for 9 months in her body. And you should be compelled for the next 18 years to support the rapist child. It's hard for me to say that you should not be able to terminate a pregnancy in such a situation like that. But the arguments don't mesh. You know, there's no way to mesh the two arguments on abortion. You know, one is a religion-based, ethics argument, and the other is about practicalities of women's life in the modern economy and things like what I just spoke of. So, you know, but as a practical matter, it's certainly going to impact the Republicans negatively in the next election. Not that I care, because I have no use for practical politics. I think there's no practicality to politics in the system. The system can't be used by us, but others disagree. And I imagine most people listening are hoping that there'll be a Republican gain in the midterm elections. This is going to galvanize the Democrats' base, which had been demoralized, and I think it's going to perceptibly increase the turnout by several percentage points among Democrats, which will be enough to flip, 15, 20 congressional seats and two or three senatorial races. So as a political, practical matter, it's very beneficial to the Democrats. A demographic matter, and I don't want
to... Let me ask you this real quickly, if I could, Sam. Sure.
Yeah, let's finish this point on demography, Sam. Then to Keith, and then I got a couple of things I got to get to Sam. Go, Sam.
Demographically, it will be very harmful to us, and that may be necessary. Maybe that human life is sacred, and you can't abort people. But as a practical, undeniable matter, it's going to bring about a great increase in the non-white birth rate in America. This has already been recognized by our enemies on National Public Radio all week long. They've been talking about that taking away Roe versus Wade will discriminate against women of color because they disproportionately take advantage of the right to have an abortion. Pat Buchanan, when he ran for president of the United States on the reform ticket, ran ads saying that abortion was anti-black and was genocide of black people because more blacks have abortions than white people. So that will be harmful. Also, white women will be able to pay the money to leave a non-abortion state to a pro-abortion state to have their abortions, and black women and Hispanic women more often will not. So it will have a negative demographic effect.
And also practically speaking, Sam,
Hold on a second. The third point is, this is a very difficult issue for us because it gets people's attention off of race, which is where the action is, and it creates an issue that divides white people. Wilmot Robertson said that to me back when Roe versus Wade first was decided, that this was a distraction. We were beginning to get to the point where whites were becoming aware they were under attack, they were beginning to coalesce, and then you had this come along, and they were able to split a lot of women off from their tribe. But you were going to say, Keith?
I was going to say that basically, practically speaking, I have the feeling that it will be a case of when all is said and done, more will be said than done. They're either going to pass a federal law making abortion the statutory law of the entire nation, or they're going to find some way to get abortions for certain people and use the ones that don't get abortions as some type of poster children for their to fuel their campaigns. But all of this, the trouble with mainstream conservatives is they want to fold their tent after this. If they get this, they don't want to talk about doing away with affirmative action or doing away with Brown versus Board of Education or any of these other really key issues. This is all they care about.
All right, before Sam, you continue. There was something quite remarkable I was going to say, I'm sure, but I can't remember because there's so much I want to work in here. What I was going to say was I don't think that they're going to pass a law on this unless Manchin or Sinema relent on the filibuster. I don't think that they can.
Yeah.
But Sam, not that...
But how long is this going to... The Senate split 50-50. You have two radical leftists now representing the state of Georgia who won the election. You have a Jew who's a son of immigrants, who is obviously unqualified as a U.S. senator, and he's totally committed to the enemy program. And you have this black guy who hates cops, and black preacher who inveighs against cops and hates cops. So you have that from Georgia. You know, the direction's there. You know, I think it's very likely the Democrats will be stronger. There are 20 Republican seats in the state, and many of them are in states that voted for Biden. The direction is just there, and they will abolish the filibuster, and they will pack the court. This thing is going to last for just a very few years, and then it will be undone.
That's right, Sam. I mean, you're talking about the future. I was working under the impression, of course, as most people were until this week, and if this is a game changer, and it might well be, then all bets are off. But I was working under the assumption, of course, that the Republicans were going to pick up gains in the House and perhaps even the Senate in the midterms this fall. That may be changed now. We'll find out. I mean, all we can do is wait and see. But, Sam, we've only got 5 minutes left. I may have to cut a couple of questions. Well, listen, I'll just work in this. Give me a 30 seconds response to this. Biden and Elizabeth Warren, I'll pick on them too. Elizabeth Warren shrieking outside on the streets of Washington this week, saying that nobody voted for this and how horrible it was that nobody voted for this. As you said on the phone earlier today, nobody voted.
That's what we said in Brown.
Nobody voted for the original decision either. Joe Biden saying this unsettles 50 years of established law and how terrible it is to do away with 50 years of established law. Well, they didn't feel that way about Brown or Loving or any of the other ones. Just a quick, I mean, look, the liberals are hypocrites. Maybe everybody is, but 30 seconds on that, Sam. I don't want to ask you about the leak.
What needs to be said? You hit the nail on the head. These people are just phony. They want to act like they're Democrats. We have what I call an unrepresentative democracy. This government does not pursue policies that most people want. The overwhelming majority of people have always been against colonization of our country by third world aliens. We've never been allowed to vote on that. Elizabeth Warren and Nancy Pelosi don't give a damn what the American people think. They want to colonize America with non-whites and third world people, because that's their agenda. It's so phony that you wonder how even the mentally retarded can't see through what these people are.
All right. Well, that says it all. And
mentally retarded are all in Antifa.
Sam, the leak, you know, here's another bit of hypocrisy. Of course, the left was aghast at Edward Snowden and Julian Assange, but now they're the champions of so-called whistleblowers. Whoever leaked this is a true hero. I've heard the media and even members of Congress say this. They've got to be protected, or he or she has to be protected. How did this leak happen, and what should happen to this person?
Well, we don't know. Somebody suggested that Sotomayor did it, but you know, When you look at an institution like the Supreme Court, it's packed with people who have access to these documents, and they're hiring large numbers of third world law students and law graduates. You know, you can't national security.
They were hiring leftists for a long time.
Yeah, and you know, these people don't care
for
about
that.
Rules. They don't care about rules. You know, Marxists don't care about rules. You know, they care about the future of the Communist Party. And Hispanics and Chinese and Jews, all these minority groups, they look at it from, is it good for us? And you can't have any kind of security in America or in any country which is made up, which has diversity. You know, I mean, they have these immigration services, sort of ceremonies, and Chinese take some kind of oath to be loyal to America. What a joke. And then they get jobs with defense industries and stuff. I mean, who are they going to be loyal to? The nation, the nation where they grew up with, and where their mother milk gave them milk, and where their families live, or some little trivial oath in a federal office building with 400 or 500 people. You know, you can't have any security in a country like this. All of our secrets are being shared all over the world. It's the same way with lawyers and with doctors. People who go to lawyers and doctors and think that things like the medical patient, the lawyer-client things is going to give them sort of security from revelation. No. Anybody in those offices can access your medical file or your law file. Any left-winger, any hate-filled immigrant who hates native-born people, all of them have access to the file. They can just copy it and hand it out. The whole thing's a sieve. You can't have security and diversity. You can't have the two of them.
America is the new Yugoslavia.
Yeah, well, Sam, exactly. Listen, Sam ended it on a perfect note. This is the thing, folks. Whatever the issue, abortion, immigration, you name it, pick an issue. Is it good for our people? Principles are nothing. Is it good for our people? That's the only question that should inform a decision.
Is it good for our people? And always, James,
based upon
race is the key to history. Race is the big casino. Race is what matters.
Race is what matters.
Demographics is destiny.
Thank you, Sam Dixon. Always a pleasure. Always an honor. We'll talk to you again very soon. Brad Griffin, Roger Devlin, still to come. Stay tuned, everybody. Much more on this issue.